¿Quieres mejor internet? Cox Internet de 300 megas tiene las velocidades rápidas y confiables que buscas. Perfecto para streaming y gaming y trabajar desde casa. Yeah. Todo por solo $45 al mes cuando agregas Cox Mobile. Incluye equipo de Wi-Fi y garantía de precio de 2 años en tu plan. Yeah. No esperes. Cámbiate hoy a Cox. Requiere Cox Mobile Gig Unlimited. Garantía de precio no incluye impuestos y cargos. Velocidad de datos móviles se reduce después de 20 gigas al mes.
Are you really buying a car online on AutoTrader right now?
Really? I can get super specific with dealer listings and see cars based on my budget.
Mom! You can really have it delivered.
Or pick it up.
Mommy, look!
I think your kid is walking up the slide.
Really?
AutoTrader. Buy your car online. Really?
Why choose a Sleep Number smart bed?
Can I make my site softer?
Can I make my site firmer?
Can we sleep cooler?
Sleep Number does that. Cools up to 8 times faster and lets you choose your ideal comfort on either side. Your Sleep Number setting. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number 1 in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store and online. And now, the more you buy, the more you save on beds, bases, and more. Limited time. For J.D. Power 2025 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Check it out at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com today.
Today's podcast is all about OpenAI, some of their new releases of specifically ChatGPT 03. That we're going to be talking about. We're going to be talking about OpenAI wanting to buy Google Chrome and some other relevant OpenAI news. So before we get into that, Jaden, why don't you tell them about our school community?
Yeah, so every single week, Jamie and I record an exclusive video. This week, we did a walkthrough of a top secret piece of software that I personally have been working on for a couple years, and we break down how to use it to get a competitive edge to grow and scale your businesses using AI. So these are videos we don't post anywhere else, tips and tricks, beta access to software and programs we're building. All of that is on the school community. So it is $19 a month, but if you sign up today, you can lock in that price because in the future, we'll be raising it. In the past, we've had it at $100, so it's at a discount right now. But we'll be raising the price again in the future. So if you lock in $18, that won't be raised on you. We have over 300 members in the school community, and everybody shares advice and ideas. So if you have questions, ask the community. If you want to see our exclusive content, go check that out. There's all sorts of, you know, over 50 videos and all sorts of really cool stuff. So we would love to have you as a member. Their link is in the description to the school community. But let's get into what OpenAI is doing. The biggest thing I think we have to talk about is OpenAI's new O3 model that they have just launched. This is something really exciting if you have tested it out. I've gotten really mixed reviews and mostly really positive reviews from a lot of people that love it and say it's much better than all the other models. One thing that's cool is I'll show you a demo of it, but I just asked it, you know, tell a joke. It said, why did the scarecrow get promoted? Because he was outstanding in his field. Haha. The thing about that is, like, that joke you could get from even all the older AI models. So I think a lot of people do what I just did right here, test something very small and are like, it's pretty much the same. And I actually got that response for a lot of the time, but there's very specific areas that it excels significantly past previous models. Now, I don't know if it's the best in the whole world compared to like every other AI model. It's pretty good, but it definitely is beating out some of the older models. So yeah, I think this is kind of cool. I guess, Jamie, what are your thoughts? OpenAI, are they always just releasing new models, or is this actually a big deal?
Yeah, I mean, my head kind of spins at this point about how many different models there are and what their use cases are, because I know there's different use cases depending on what you're trying to do. I always leave it at the 4.0, which is the most recent one, I guess, or not the most recent one. I don't even know. But I usually just leave it on 4.0. I get the results I want. But what would someone want to use O3 for?
So I think O3 excels past previous models that they've had, specifically with what they call, like with code. It's much better at code than previous models. I still know a lot of people that are just using Anthropic for code. But the thing that they say it's really good at is it has a score of 53% on the ARC AGI-1 benchmark. So that's pretty solid on that benchmark. What's interesting is they have an O4 mini model as well. And what's interesting is the ARC AGI-2, so that's like a benchmark or a puzzle, is completely unsolved. No AI model has ever solved it. So they're making these like benchmarks that are harder and harder for AI models to solve. I think benchmarking is such an interesting like business, but so needed for models. In any case, if it's getting like 53% on the previous benchmark, the new one no one's even solved, but the previous one's getting 53% on, like, it's pretty smart compared to a lot of other models. So
yeah, it said when you click down on the menu on ChatGPT, it said advanced reasoning, so maybe that's more strong in the reasoning category. And then obviously I picked up on this, although I'm no expert, I'm assuming AGI benchmarks are measuring how close they are to reaching artificial general intelligence. Is that correct? Like,
Trying
to move in that direction.
Yep.
Okay.
So essentially, there's a lot of cool things. One cool use case that someone was recently showing on Twitter is they said, O3, study all the content Stanford, MIT, and other top schools have on modern AI, machine learning, and LLMs, and create a course plan focused on application. And it then went and made a course plan. But inside the core lecture, it has a thing called core lecture playlist, and it actually found YouTube videos and has links inside. So if you wanted to become an expert on something, you don't have to go buy like a course. You just ask it and it's going to go find all of that and put together a whole,
wow,
a whole thing for you and build the course with links to actual videos. I think this is actually a really interesting side hustle if anyone's interested in doing course content. Essentially, you could use this to build your curriculums and your courses. You could go and watch all those videos and learn about whatever they talk about. And you could, a couple things. You could essentially, I think you could use AI to recreate the videos, because these are going to be by random people about different things that are like, you know, it's cohesive here, but the videos are all random. You get the AI to watch them, or the AI to recreate them with one of these AI avatar things. And you can make courses, I believe, and just sell them on Coursera. If you want to be like more legit, you could actually film it yourself and talk about it. And if it's obviously a topic you know a lot about, that's like the best thing. But I think that courses can make a lot of money. I know a couple guys that did Coursera courses, essentially are what they like use to fund their life while they were starting like some software startups. They made courses on Coursera, and that's literally how they like funded everything. So I think that's a pretty cool side hustle that if you have not tried, I would recommend looking into it. If you're an expert on something, Coursera might be a cool place to make some passive side hustle money.
Yeah, I mean, online education is huge. And you know, when you're trying to learn something, going to YouTube, you're gonna have to sift through hundreds or thousands of videos to find all the information you need. Being able to like organize it and have it for you, like all the actual answers you need, is extremely valuable. So that's actually awesome. I love that demo.
Yeah. And yeah, there's a lot of like hypey kind of graphs you can find about the O3 model. People are saying the length of tasks AIs can do is increasing, and they have like O3 completely crushing O4 mini, and even Sonnet 3.7 and O1 and GPT-4. So allegedly this thing is like an insane amount better, and we're going to get GPT-5 this summer, according to Sam Altman, it looks like. So I think that's pretty good news. I'm quite bullish on this. Now, the one thing that a lot of people have been pointing at and like, I don't know, making fun of, is that OpenAI's O3 model apparently is scoring lower on benchmarks than OpenAI initially said. So for those that don't know, when a new model is announced, they do this like big PR thing. They say where it scored and all the benchmarks. I watched it live and they were kind of showing. And apparently it didn't actually score as high as they said it did when they released it out for everyone to use. And this is something that a lot of people accuse these AI companies of, is trying to game the benchmarks. You know, they try to get it to get the best response. And some of the benchmarks make it like harder to game, so it's more legit. But you got to kind of be careful, because otherwise people can fudge the numbers a little bit. I feel like we saw with Google's 2.5 Pro, to be honest. I just did not feel like it was as good as they said it was. So this is definitely a problem in the industry. But TechCrunch is accusing OpenAI of also doing this with their new O3 model.
Well, yeah, the benchmarks don't really mean a whole lot to me as far as numbers. I like my use cases, but
totally.
But yeah, I guess it is important to track those and be honest about them. speaking of which, one thing people have been growing concerned of with ChatGPT is that apparently it is referring to users by their names unprompted. So people find this a little bit creepy that it, you know, talks to them and uses their name, their first person name. Specifically in like the thinking mode, it shows like the thinking process that, you know, there's some screenshots. Someone named Simon asked it a question. And it said, Simon's asking about a 2x2 integer matrix A. So people are a little creeped out by this. Jaden, does this bother you much, or are you you a little
I mean, to, if I'm 100% honest, doesn't really bother me because essentially what it's doing is it's just going to your like account settings. And once they added memory, they just said like, remember everything that the person has ever done. And if you just go to your, you know, personalization or whatever, just like in your account, there's a way to see your name. So it just knows what your name is, or you've said what your name is in the past before. And now it remembers it in your history. And yeah, so it's going to say it. I don't know. It's not the end of the world to me. I mean, you tell the AI model everything. And so it pretty much knows, and now it knows to save it. So, I don't know. Google and everyone else knows your name too, unless you have an anonymous account.
Right. Exactly. And speaking of Google, the last little OpenAI news we have is that an executive at OpenAI said they would buy Google Chrome if they were offered a chance, which I think is really interesting. Why? I don't know why they haven't come out with a browser yet, but Google Chrome is, in my opinion, the best. I use it exclusively. So, but it would be nice to have OpenAI kind of, you know, integrated into it. So what do you think about that, Jaden?
I just think that the whole thing is pretty funny. It seems like they're kind of ripping Google a little bit because they're like, this was Nick Turley. He said this during a court hearing on Tuesday because Google's got all these antitrust and like kind of monopoly court hearings and a bunch of other stuff going on. But anyways, what he's talking about, that he said that OpenAI would love to, quote, offer a really incredible experience and introduce users into what an AI first browser looks like. What's funny, he said this over on Bloomberg, what's funny to me about this though is just like, Google's obviously not doing their job of making an AI first browser. So if they have to get broken up for antitrust stuff, we'd be happy to buy it and like actually do something innovative. I don't know. I just thought it was like the ultimate diss, even if it never gets broken up and they never have to sell it to anyone. Now it's just like, you guys aren't doing an AI first browser. We definitely could. I think OpenAI probably is working on some of these kinds of things, because I know they're trying to be a competitor to Perplexity in a way with a bunch of different things.
Sure.
And a lot of people are saying this new OpenAI, you know, update is like absolutely killed Perplexity. I don't know if it's true, but Perplexity has got a lot of cool use cases still. But yeah, I think that this is it's pretty interesting and also kind of a good little jab at Google, in my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, I get it. Google does have, you know, their AI summaries, and that's pretty much all they've integrated so far. They could probably do more with, you know, AI integrations and stuff. But I would like to see an OpenAI browser. Isn't there a plugin you can get for Chrome with ChatGPT or no?
Yeah, you can get a plugin and you can also set it as, I believe there's a way to set it as your default search engine. So some people do that. Some people do Perplexity, as it's a little bit better, like with some of the search stuff, or even Grok. I just saw today added search and a live update information from X, which nice. I saw some people like complaining about that a week ago. So anyways, that's probably a whole nother episode. Some of the cool things you could do there. But, you know, apparently the judge told Google they got to divest Chrome. We'll see if it actually falls through or if they kind of like appeal the suit or whatever. But OpenAI has apparently actually looked at working on a browser. And they even hired ex-Google developer Ben Goodger and Darren Fisher, who worked on the original Chrome project. They hired them a few months ago. So, I mean, we could be seeing some interesting things. And maybe they're prepping for Google to get smacked, and they're going to try to just grab that Google Chrome extension or that Google Chrome browser, and they're already working on everything they want to add into it. So this can be pretty cool and very, very bullish for OpenAI, because essentially that would unlock the agent space for them if they had everyone with Google Chrome, and now they can release agents on there that can take over your browser and do things. I mean, that would be huge. So we'll keep you up to date on everything happening with OpenAI. So much news. Thanks so much for listening to the episode today, and make sure if you want to join the AI Hustle School community, you check out the link in the description. We would love to have you as a member, help you grow and scale your business or career. Thanks so much. We will catch you all next time.